This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we'll be talking about the Rutherford County Schools. And with us today in studio, we have James Evans with Communications, and then also Kay Martin, the Deputy Superintendent of the County Schools. How are both of y'all doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having us this morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
So school is officially back in session, has been for a month now, I guess. What has that first month been like?
It's actually been one of the smoothest openings that I can remember. We were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, and they made me knock on wood and run around the building a couple of times, you know, and spit a couple of times in the wind, just so I wouldn't jinx it. But usually it levels out after Labor Day, and that's where we are. And so we've really seen it smooth out over the last few days. Everyone's back, you know, used to being on buses and in the traffic and going to class. And so things are settling down now.
How many students are enrolled this year?
We have passed a new milestone. So we are over 52,000 for the first time. So Dr. Sullivan and I, our director of schools, we had a little bet going of whether we would reach 52,000. I said that we would. And so he owes me breakfast or something now. But yeah, we just barely over 52,000.
And just a few years back, I mean, the number was at 49,000, and man, that's quite a bit.
I started 21 years ago, and there were 29,000 students. I was talking to somebody about that this weekend, about how much we've grown in that 20 years. And Dr. Martin started just before I did a few years.
I'm starting my 26th year, so we have definitely grown. I'm born and raised here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County, and so lots of growth in my lifetime, for sure.
So over the years to come, how much more is the school system kind of expected to grow, or do you have any idea on how much larger it will be in the next 10 years or so?
Well, typically we grow about 1,000 to 1,200 students a year, so you can multiply that out, and you know, so that's 10 to 12,000 more students that we'll add over the next 10 years.
That's a lot. Are we ready for that?
Ready or not. So there's no stopping it. I mean, there are a lot of people moving here. It's a great place to live, obviously, and we have great schools. People like that. One of the first things people always ask, according to the chamber, is how's the school system? And so that's one of the things that attracts people. We also have a wonderful university here, of course. So all those things contribute. We're getting a lot of people from out of state. We notice a lot of Californians moving here. I think everyone talks and jokes about that, but they're coming too, because it's just more affordable to live here as of now.
And do we have any new schools that have recently opened or are about to open?
We do. As he said, to speak a little bit to our growth, you know, growth definitely brings its challenges, but it's also a complement to our school system because people are attracted to Rutherford County for multiple reasons. But our school system is at the heart of that, and we're very proud of that. We've opened up a new school. It is Simon Springs Community School. And so that has replaced the old Laverne Primary or Roy Waldron Annex, as it's been called the last couple of years. We have new building construction additions going on currently at three of our schools, Riverdale High School, Oakland High School, and Smyrna High School. And then we also have coming soon in the next process, we will open up next school year Poplar Hill Elementary School, and that's in the Blackman area between Blackman, Stewart's Creek, Browns Chapel area there. And then hopefully we'll have going out pretty soon to bid is an addition to Laverne High School as well.
And those additions or the annexes right now under construction at Riverdale, Smyrna, those places, that all got underway. Was it last year or the year before?
It was last year we started that. They're a little bit different in their process or where they are in their progress. We are hopeful that we will open the Smyrna High School addition fairly soon, and then Oakland and Riverdale will follow next year as well.
And will that allow for a lot more students, or what do those additions do?
Yeah, it's going to bring their capacity up to around 2,500 each, and so that will help with some overcrowding in some of the high schools. But we still need another high school, and so the board's already looking for land in the north part of the county. That's really where we need another high school, and so if you know someone that has good land that will, you know, suit a school and all the infrastructure needed for that, reach out to the board, please, because they're trying to find land now.
And James, I know you talked a little bit about alternative schools last time, and there is, what, a new alternative school, or What is that?
It's a little hard to define, but Simon Springs Community School is a behavioral school for those who are younger. We've never had one before for those who are in elementary school, but we've had a need for it for a while. And so this school is meant to help students who need to have some behavior intervention so they can then return to their traditional schools. And we're able to focus a lot of resources at that school to help them get there quicker. And so that's what the intent of the school is.
Now, are there already students there?
We started the school year with about 20 kids there, so very small. And, you know, you don't want a ton of kids at a school like that, but we have the capacity to take more as needed throughout the school year.
Now, is that the one that's on South Church Street?
No. So this is actually in Laverne. It takes the place of the old Laverne Primary School. It's also been known as the Roy Waldron Annex, but it's now been renamed to the Simon Springs Community School. They're the Foxes. The one on Church Street, we have purchased the building there, but we don't think it's going to be open this year. We're having to do some things for the city to make sure that school it's suitable for traffic and those kinds of things before we can move forward.
And what is that one going to be or expected to be?
It will be another alternative school, absolutely, that will be for middle and high schools students once it gets open.
What are the biggest issues facing children today as far as those, you know, behavior-type challenges that you do see?
I think the number one thing, and everyone will tell you this, anxiety is something that's growing not only among students but also among adults. It's one of the number one mental health things that people talk about. And so that leads to some issues with students, of course. And then you also have students with special needs that have some behavioral issues, too. And so we're seeing more and more of those as our population grows.
We definitely saw that the last several years since COVID. We've seen that more in our younger students than ever before. You know, you think about those students at that developmental age from birth to 3 years old, birth to five, even before they ever start school is so important for those students. And those students were at home. You know, they didn't get to go out and socialize and learn how to interact with their peers, how to interact out in public. And so just some emotional stress for those students. And so that's where we really seen that rise the last few years.
And what type of help is available for kids who are going through something where they do have a lot of anxiety?
Well, you know, our teachers are really amazing at what they do. You know, when you have a class of 25-year-olds, they're able to do a lot of things. So that routine, that structure, those students knowing what to expect, establishing relationships and just setting up those guidelines from day one. And that's why it takes a little bit time, especially with our younger students, our kindergartners, first graders. Every time we have a holiday like we did now, we kind of start over on these Tuesdays and get back into those routines. So we have those. That's one of the reasons we have Simon Springs is to help those students in that smaller environment. And you will see that in our classrooms. If you visit our classrooms, you're going to see pull-out groups with students, small groups going on. It really is amazing what those teachers are able to do with those young students. And just it is a fine old working machine for sure.
And what was it like for some of those first-time students going to school, you know, starting off, I guess, this semester? And what was it like for their parents?
We've had a lot of firsts in the last 5 weeks, if you think about it. So it was the first day for some of our teachers. It was the first day for all of our kindergartners. First for some of the moms and dads out there sending their kids off to school. And then I think we also kind of forget about it was the first day of someone's middle school. It was the first day of high school for our students. So it's a lot of firsts. It's a lot of excitement. And everybody responds differently. Some are just so excited and can't wait. Some have a lot of anxiety and just unsure about what it's going to look like. And so our schools do a lot of back to school events, a lot of things to welcome them, both parents and students, so they can become familiar with that school. We have parent nights and parents can learn more about what's going on in their child's classroom and how together they can work with that teacher to support their student.
And I know that parents, they communicate with the teachers a number of different ways. What seems to be the most popular today? Is it email? Is it texting? What is it?
It depends on the grade level. So I have a couple of kids still in elementary school, and they're real big into using something that's called Dojo. It's an app that the parents and the teachers use. And so I was communicating with one of my kids' teachers last night through Dojo. Some just use what we have called Skyward, which is our student information system. People communicate through that as well. There's messages and grades and things like that. And by the way, my kids hate that we now have the technology available where I can check their grades every day. There's no waiting for progress reports or report cards. I can look every Friday and be like, ooh, you got a 50 on something. We're going to talk about that this weekend, or maybe you're grounded this weekend, or whatever it is. They really don't like that. But as parents, we really like it. So there's a variety of new technologies that we have in place so that parents can stay informed throughout the school year and not have to wait for those, you know, the old paper progress reports and report cards.
So those are updated, what, almost daily?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some teachers of my high schooler that every day as an assignment gets done or a test gets done or a quiz, they're in there by the end of the day. And as parents, we really appreciate that because we can see it. And you can set up alerts that let you know, like if your child has a missing grade or a missing assignment or a grade that's below a certain threshold, it will alert you. My wife has that set up. My oldest son really loves that too. I'm being facetious, but she really loves being able to keep track. Just like, because we're all so busy, you know, we're both working parents. And so a lot of parents have told us they appreciate being able to not just spy on their kids, but just kind of keep up with them as it's going instead of waiting till you're midway through the year or whatever. And that way you can intervene if you need to much quicker.
So what happens when a child falls behind? Do you still hold them back a grade at the end of the year if they're not called up, or what occurs?
It's always a case-by-case situation. We have so many remediation opportunities and intervention opportunities throughout the year. You know, you hear a lot about testing now, and everyone thinks about the big TCAP test or the EOC test at the end of the year. But we are doing so much what we call progress monitoring throughout the year and really benchmarking our students. So we already know now. We already have seen growth in a lot of our students because we give them those assessments at the beginning. Then we monitor that throughout each quarter. And so really TCAP and EOCs are not a surprise for us. But really, it's a very small number of students that are retained. And then you also know we have our power hour after school, those opportunities for our students. So if they need something extra beyond the school day, we're offering those free tutoring opportunities. It's a very small ratio with our teachers. It's a 1-to-3 ratio. So it's a lot of one-on-one attention and direct tutoring for that student. We also have our summer programs now for our students. We have that for all of our elementary students. We also have credit recovery opportunity for our high school students. And so really that retention number from what we're familiar with growing up is really a much smaller number.
So the credit recovery, is that something that started during COVID? Because it seems like that's when we really heard people talk about credit recovery.
Mm-hmm. Credit recovery has been around for a very long time. Traditionally for Rutherford County, we always had summer school for our grade 9 through 12 students. But then when we did have COVID come in, that is something that actually came out of the COVID era as we started an additional and with the summer school opportunity, we had 1 month in June, a 4-week intensive program for those students. If they had already taken the course and they had scored a 60 or higher, but still that failing rate, they had that opportunity to come in and have some intense credit recovery for that content area.
And again, we're talking about the Rutherford County Schools this morning. Our guest today, Kay Martin, and also James Evans from the county schools. So what are some other big issues that you see happening right now in the county as far as the schools go?
So the last time we were here, Miss Janet Flannery was here with us. She's in charge of our Grow Your Own program, which basically helps us take people who have a degree in something, but they want to become a teacher. They're not licensed, and she helps them get their license. We've seen big payoffs this year from that. We were looking at the numbers last week. We have fewer than 20 spots, teaching positions open right now, which for a district our size this time of year is pretty amazing. It's the best shape we've been in a long time starting the school year out, because everyone is competing over a very small pool of teachers who are coming out of the universities. So we now have to do what's known as a Grow Your Own program, and it's very successful. And so there's still some openings left. If you want to work for the school system, we have some teaching jobs. We have some classified positions like custodians, or those who work in the cafeterias, or work in a classroom as a teacher aide, those kinds of things. Just reach out. We can help you get the application done and tell you where the openings are. Just as an update from last time, it's just been a huge success, because we talked in July about how we needed, you know, I think 50 or 60 teachers, and we're down, like I said, to fewer than 20 now.
We have over 3,800 certified. That's our teaching staff, administrators, employees. And so to have less than 20 openings speaks a lot to Ms. Flannery and her program. We were one of the first districts in the state of Tennessee to start those Grow Your Own programs. And so our teachers are kind of coming to us in different pathways than our traditional pathways 20, 15 years ago. It's really working for them. And there are a lot of them. We have a lot of our educational assistants who are transitioning from one of those roles into our teacher roles. And so they already have experiences in our schools and know our schools. So that's been a positive, too.
Yeah, we have a partnership with Lipscomb University that is allowing those employees to go to school for free to get their teaching license pretty quickly on accelerated, and we've had several take that option because they wanted to teach. They've been in the classroom. They love being around children and helping them, and this helps them move to the next level.
So when they participate in this program, do they have to have all their, you know, past grades or you know, what they graduated with from college, maybe even 10, 20 years ago?
Absolutely. Their transcripts, there are some academic requirements, of course, from when they went to school just to qualify for the program. So, yeah.
And then I know statewide, we heard about some teachers coming out of retirement, going back into schools. Did we see a lot of that in Rutherford County?
The state offered something, I think it started last year, where retired educators could come back and work half a year, half a contract is what we call it, and not mess up their retirement, because that's always a big incentive, is not to mess up the retirement, because if you go back into work, your retirement benefits stop. And so the state let them do that. And so we saw several come back. Some of them would come back. They had an old teaching partner, but maybe they taught ELA, for example, and they said, we'll do half a year, you do the half a year, and then they worked together to cover the 4 years. So, we saw several of those last year, and we heard great things from them. They love being back with the students and being able to maintain their retirement benefits.
I could see where that'd be a positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you get these veteran teachers who have 30 or 40 years experience. They're seasoned teachers and know how to go into the classroom and manage it. You know, managing a classroom is one of the things we hear from young teachers. It's one of the hardest skills to attain. We have a lot of mentorship programs, things like that in place to help them. But it's still something that, you know, all young teachers struggle with. First time in a classroom kind of by themselves. And so if you can get a veteran teacher that can come back in and already has mastered that thing, they're already ahead of the game, just to be able to walk in and start actually teaching.
So when you talk to teachers who've been there for 10, 20, maybe even 30 years, what do they talk about being different today compared to, let's say, 20 years ago?
Kay's the old teacher on the radio now, so I'll let her answer that question.
You know, so much has evolved from technology to the needs of our students. We have really... One of our student populations that we've seen the most growth in has been our ESL students. And so where our languages that used to be just, you know, maybe 10 plus different types of languages, we have over 100 different spoken languages in our schools now. And so meeting those students where they are and supporting them, some of those students have never been in a structured public school setting. And you, when we think of that, a lot of times we think of, oh, this is a 5 or 6 year old or a 10 year old. No, we have students that are 15 years and older that are coming to us who've never set school in what here in the United States is a traditional public school. And so supporting those students is just giving us a new opportunity to grow. And so in supporting them, that's something that's been a challenge for our teachers, but we're learning to support them.
Yeah, last spring I got the opportunity to go out and interview about 20 different students all the way from elementary through high school that had been here less than a year. They were ESL students from various countries. And it was amazing, though. A lot of them didn't come from a place where they went to school every day. It might be they went to school 1 or 2 days a week. But they have acclimated so quickly here. They're just so eager to learn. Several of them were on track to graduate on time, already had career plans for college and things like that. It's amazing what our teachers do in such a short amount of time.
I would imagine that it's really tough communicating with the parents, and probably the students play a big role in those parent-teacher conferences.
They do. We have different translators too within our school, so they provide a lot of support. Something that we added this past summer was our enrollment centers. So we had several locations all during the summer for our new families, and we would have translators on hand there. At some of our professional development centers in some of our schools, but that just gave a smaller one-on-one setup for those parents who, you know, this is their first time too. And so making them feel comfortable, making sure that they know that we're going to take the best care of their student, not just academically, but on a personal level too, and support them and their entire family. So that was something that we saw our communities really enjoyed. It really helped our traditional homeschools as well, because that kind of took off some of that burden, and we were able to have in a few places set up in the county all the resources that they would need there for enrollment.
And again, we're talking about the Rutherford County Schools this morning, and we're going to take a short break, and we will come right back in just a second after we check on today's traffic. Time again right now, 8:36. Again, stay with us.
Good morning. This wrecks over to the side in Madison on 65 southbound here at Briley Parkway. Still a little bit of rubbernecking going on in this area because of that crash on 65 southbound at Briley. It's trying to move a little bit better through Hermitage into Donaldson from some wrecks we had earlier out near the airport. Now it's heavy 40 eastbound. Now around Charlotte Pike, you got all that traffic coming in from Bellevue and from Dixon County. Hey, whether you need a new roof, roof repair, or roof inspection, make an independent roofing specialist. IRSroofs.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
CBS News Brief. Two Russian ballistic missiles have hit an educational facility and a nearby hospital in central Ukraine. President Volodymyr Zelensky spoke about the attack in a video posted on his Telegram channel. He's heard here through an interpreter.
More than 180 people were injured. Unfortunately, there are many dead. As of now, 41 people have been reported dead. My condolences go to all the families and friends.
An anti-American mob attacked two U.S. Marines in a city in western Turkey yesterday. They chanted, "Yankees go home." The Marines are okay. They're now back on their ship. The man who attacked a judge in a courtroom in Las Vegas early this year goes on trial today for it, says CBS's Jim Crisula.
31-year-old Deobra Retton yelled obscenities and jumped over Judge Mary Kay Holtis's bench in Las Vegas, landing on top of her as she began to sentence him in a previous case last January.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you.
The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10 on WGNS.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Let's work together to help ensure your finances can keep up with your unique needs over the long haul. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for an appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Today we're talking about the Rutherford County Schools. We have Deputy Superintendent Kay Martin with us today, and also Director of Communications James Evans, again, both in studio with us this morning. So during the break, we talked a little bit about some of the other topics we could talk about, one being a college night for ESL students. And I'm curious, the ESL students that you do have, you said some, this is their first time to be in a real public school setting, or a school setting, I guess, in general altogether. So what is it like for some of these students? Because I'm sure their backgrounds, they may not come from, like you said, a traditional school. So how do they go about understanding and getting called up in everything that is being taught?
Well, one thing we do is that we have, of course, translators at our schools that work with our ESL or through our ESL department. We do service more than 100 languages in Rutherford County, but our primary languages outside of English are Spanish and Arabic. Those are the two big ones other than English. And so we have a wonderful ESL department that has a lot of people in the schools that work with these students and help them acclimate very quickly. There's also some technology out there now. I've seen students using the apps where they can translate on the fly when they're communicating between themselves and teachers. Other students help out. I've heard from a number of students how much they learn from they kind of flock together if they speak the same language, and those students who have already learned English are then helping the other ones. But they learn very quickly. And so we do have a special event coming up on September 24th. It's going to be at Blackman High School, but it's open to all RCS students who are ESL students and their families. But we will have translators available. But it's a college night to make sure they know about the opportunities that are available to them after high school. It's what we call post-secondary. But it'll be a really big event. Representatives from MTSU, Motlow, and then the Tennessee College of Applied Technology, TCAT, will be there as well.
Have you had many opportunities to learn, you know, why some of these families came here and what their backgrounds are?
Almost universally, you can ask the students why they're here, and most of them will tell you that it's because their families were pursuing a better life, which is what, you know, the U.S. is all about. But number one reason is that they're coming here for better opportunities.
And obviously, you've already seen a lot of these ESL students get accepted to colleges and go to college, some probably for the first time in their family.
Yeah, I got to interview these two young ladies last year from Blackman High School who were graduating. I got to interview them during their graduation rehearsal at Murphy Center at MTSU, and they were just almost in tears talking about how appreciative they were of the teachers that had helped them get there, and they just wanted to share that in the little interview that we did. Because they had not imagined graduating from a high school in the U.S., and they had just done it. And I'm talking like in like a two-year period, they had turned around from never going to school or rarely going to school to finishing high school. They caught up that quickly. There's tons of amazing stories like that.
And what are some of those students going on to be once they graduate college?
You know, those two didn't tell me what they were going to do, but, you know, a variety of things. They go to MTSU or they'll go to Motlow or something like that. But, you know, the same type of opportunities that our traditional students would go through. They get the same exposure to those types of things.
I think it goes back when we talk about our growth. That's another reason why Rutherford County is so attractive to so many people. You alluded earlier, we have people coming from other states, but we also have them coming from other countries, because right here we have MTSU, we have Motlow, we have the TCAT program, and then if they want to go straight into the workforce, there's just so many opportunities. In the big picture, you know, affordable living here, so I can work here in Rutherford County, I can live here, but I can also go into some surrounding counties and have more opportunities as well. So it's just very appealing to a lot of our families.
And how many students and parents do you all expect for the ESL College Night?
This is the first one that we've had that's specifically for ESL families, and so it's we're going to learn a lot on how many show up, but we've had lots of interest. We've had a lot of families reach out wanting to know more information, so that's a good sign.
We also, this is open to all of our families, but tomorrow night at the James Union Building at MTSU on campus, they have their MTSU Rutherford County College Night. So I strongly suggest all the parents and families, if you have especially a junior or a senior in high school, that it is a great opportunity to see all the offerings that MTSU has for our students. They are very supportive with us in our dual enrollment. We host graduation there, but they also really walk and work with our students and families even post-graduation. And so this would be a great place to get started. And a lot of times too, I know I've gone with my personal children. They do give out scholarships that night and have drawings. And so if you have some time tomorrow night, the student or the James Union student building there, 6 to 8 at MTSU.
So what all goes into kind of planning to open, you know, the first month of the school year? What goes into planning all that?
We really start even in April and May. So when our schools start their TCAP testing and their EOCs at the district level, and even at the school level, we really start focusing on the upcoming school year as well, closing out that school year, but then looking forward and planning ahead too. And so that's an opportunity to us. A lot of times we have it's just an opportunity for us to start filling and serving our teachers and our staff. So we have two big professional development opportunities during the summer for our teachers, one being Summer Summit. And we have thousands of teachers that attend and get all of their professional development hours and those requirements for the upcoming school year. And it is completely Rutherford County led. So it's our teachers teaching other teachers. We have our instructional specialists that are for each of the grade bands, that are content specialists in their area, training our teachers. This past summer, we had that at Blackman Middle School and had a wonderful turnout, over 1,000 participants and even more hours that are obtained by our teachers. And so that is for any teacher that was in Rutherford County last year or who is going to be teaching in Rutherford County this upcoming school year. And that's an opportunity for us to really feed those seasoned and veteran teachers. But we also have our new teachers who may be new to Rutherford County or really that 1 or 2 year teachers. Some of our teachers even start after the school year, so they didn't get a whole lot of training that you maybe had if you were hired in May or June. And so we have what is called ASSIST. And that is for our brand new teachers or our 1 to 2 year teachers. And that just helps them to get acclimated to Rutherford County and all the support that we're going to provide for them, not just in the summer, but as they walk through their first couple of years here in Rutherford County. So they meet, again, all of those instructional specialists that we have at the central office. We have English, math, science, and social studies specialists at each of the grade band that's very specific. So they go over their curriculum guides and all the support that they will have. We also have in each of our own, every building has instructional coaches that are there to support teachers. And so they are teachers who know their school and their school building and exactly what each teacher needs and what the students in that building need. And so they are just what they are called, instructional coaches. They are coaching those teachers all throughout the year. So during the summer, we also train the instructional coaches and provide support to them. And then a lot of our schools have different programs where they bring in any new teacher to their building and give them some support before school gets started so they can really know what is our culture, what are our goals, and what's our mission here at this specific school.
And again, we're talking about the Rutherford County Schools and our guests today, Kay Martin and James Evans from the county schools. And I know we haven't talked a whole lot about this, but there are some charter schools here in Rutherford County now. And I guess first question, how does that all work with the county school system versus the charter schools? How do they work together or are they totally separate?
So with the charter schools, the state offers two different pathways for a charter school to open. One is for our team to review it. And if our board approves that charter school, then they operate as one of our authorized schools. So they are one of our schools. They're just a charter school. If our board were to reject it, and they have done that in the past, certain ones, then that group can appeal to the state level, and the state can either approve them or reject them. But if the state were to approve them, then it's a state-authorized charter school. And the reason I bring up that distinction is because in Rutherford County, we have both types. Our board has approved and authorized two different ones that open this year, and that's Springs Academy, Springs and Power Academy. And then the other one is the American Classical Academy Rutherford, which is in Laverne. But then there's a third charter school, Rutherford Collegiate Prep, that our board did turn down, but the state authorized. But all three of those opened this year.
And with that distinction there, do the county schools have any employees there? Do they have any, you know, school resource officers there? What takes place as far as employees?
They hire their own employees, but they still are accountable to us. So their results flow to us just like another traditional school would.
So if the school is underperforming in some way, that would be up to the county school director to say, hey, something's wrong here, you need to fix this.
Between the director and the school board and our instructional staff, we would work with them to hopefully correct any deficiencies if that were to happen.
And this is all fairly new territory for Rutherford County.
It's brand new. And so we are still learning as we're going on some of this. We're sort of building the car as we drive it. But that's just, I mean, because they're so new in general in Tennessee, outside of certain counties that have had them for a few years, like Davidson and Shelby counties have had them for a few years. But it's new in other places like Rutherford County. There's some other counties that are dealing with it too. We actually have a fourth charter school that has applied, and our school board has voted against authorizing them. And there's a appeal hearing coming up soon on September 9th at our office. For anyone, it's at 1 p.m. for anyone who wants to come and speak, either for or against. And, you know, so we are trying to help advertise that meeting just so the public is aware. Our board is concerned about the way that charter schools are funded. That's one of the biggest concerns I have, because they're funded differently than a traditional school, and it's taking some resources away from our traditional schools. And so that was one major reason they voted against this fourth charter school.
Is there a limit on how many charter schools can be in a county?
Not that I'm aware of. No, not in Tennessee. They're authorized to have as many as we want to approve or the state wants to approve.
So, I mean, they could literally have, I guess one county could have 10, 20 charter schools if they were each approved.
Well, and in your larger counties like Nashville, Davidson County, they obviously have multiple charter schools. But, you know, hopefully we won't need that type of number here. But, I mean, time will tell.
Have any of these charter schools built their own buildings yet? Because I know there were talks of, you know, this is the building we're going to build. This is when we expect to open it.
The two that we have, so American Classical, that is in the Smyrna-Laverne area, and they have occupied one of the old Ingram buildings there, and so that's where they are located. The Springs and Power, that is another one of our charter schools, it is in the Boys and Girls Club in the Smyrna and Laverne area as well. So none of the charter schools that we have approved have actually built their own buildings at this time.
Because when these schools first announced, hey, we're going to be in Rutherford County, they sent out to media all these elaborate school design plans and said, this is what our school is going to look like. But then there was no construction.
Well, and I mean, that's one of those things where that part is outside of our control. You know, they're in charge of trying to fulfill those plans and work with us on those. And our numbers this year, I think we're hovering around 200 students are in the charter schools that we've approved, and then about 100 are in the other one. I'm not sure of the exact number on that one. So they don't have a ton of students yet, but obviously they're trying to plant seeds and hoping that will grow.
Will there come a time where the county school system says, you know, hey, where's your building?
Well, that wasn't part of the agreement. They have to have a building of some sort, either renting a building or building a building, but the agreement that we approved covers what their facilities have to include, whether they rent or buy or build. That's up to them, as long as they can meet those classroom needs.
But again, these charter schools, they have to get the approval either from Rutherford County Schools or from the state if the county schools turn them down.
That's right.
Correct.
And then there's another one in the works, and they're going to present, what, what they're going to be suggesting or doing, I guess, to the county school board?
They've already done that, and our board rejected that application. So now they're going through the appeal process to the state level, and this upcoming hearing that we talked about is part of that appeal process. The state is gathering input from the public here, which is why it's so important that people show up and let them know what they think about it.
Is there a website where folks listening can learn more about these charter schools?
Yes. On our website, they can go to rcschools.net, and there's an entire section about approved charter schools and those who have applied. You can actually read through their actual applications that they've submitted and then our review team's comments on that application.
Again, we're talking about the Rutherford County Schools this morning, and school board members. We have, what, new school board members who are starting out?
That's right. So we have two new members who have joined the board. Ms. Sheila Bratton and Mr. Coy Young are longtime school board members and educators. They've retired from their position. They did not seek re-election. And so we have two new board members, Butch Vaughn, who is a longtime educator, administrator with the school system, who's retired. And then Mr. Stan Vaught, who has served in a variety of roles, county commission, the IDB, all those kinds of things. Those two are joining the board, and they're doing their swearing-in ceremony this evening before the board meeting. And then the board will select its chairperson and vice chair for the next year. They always do that the first meeting of the school year, which is September.
Okay. And Butch Vaughn, he was a longtime principal at Walter Hill?
That is Butch Campbell.
Butch Campbell.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
sorry,
that's okay.
We do live in a world now where there are two Butches on each school board.
That's right.
That's
yes.
Right. So that is funny. But Butch Vaughn is our Butch.
Yeah. Mr. Campbell was one of our principals here in Rutherford County. He served in that role for 30 years as principal. So I was fortunate and honored enough to actually follow after him as principal at Walter Hill. Mr. Campbell is on Murfreesboro City School, but Butch Vaughn, he has been a longtime educator in Rutherford County. He opened Blackman Middle School years ago. He was also principal at Central Middle School before it was Central Magnet School years and years ago. He also served at Oakland High School as principal there. And so we're really excited to have him join us and all the expertise and years of experience in education he's going to be able to offer.
And as we close this morning, if anybody would like to learn more about the Rutherford County Schools, what is the website?
It's rcschools.net. You'll find a ton of information there. And then we're also on pretty much all the social media channels as well. All that's available through our website.
And you guys have a new logo as well on the website.
We did a new branding study last school year and have launched it over the summer. It's more than just a logo. It's really, we wanted to reset, make sure the community knows what our schools stand for. And so we have our slogan this year is that we have strong schools, strong students, which lead to a strong community. That's really what we're pushing this year, and we've had a great response to that now that we've got it off the ground.
And again, 52,000 students at the county schools. Now, does that include the students at the charter schools as well?
It includes the ones that we authorize. So the two charter schools that are part of our district, that includes those students as well.
And virtual students, that is something that number includes also.
Oh, yeah. So we had the virtual school, which has students as well, that grades 3 through 12. It's been very successful, and it's also included as one of our schools.
So as far as that virtual school goes, is it still something that is very popular? And do you see the same number of students there each year?
Oh, it's growing in popularity. Mm-hmm. There are a variety of students that like to attend for different reasons. But yeah, it's growing in popularity. So we think it'll be around for a while.
It was something that actually came out of the COVID years, like Mr. Evans said, has even grown since post-COVID and looks much different now. But we have a lot of students that take advantage of that and a lot of families because it just works better for that family and their schedule and all the commitments that they have.
Sounds good. And again, with us this morning, Kay Martin, Deputy Superintendent of the Rutherford County Schools, and also Director of Communications, James Evans. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.